In the corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting. Knocked down and trickles into the goal. It's a rush up the left side. Nosek is in. He shoots and scores. Tomáš Nosek. On the right side wall, tipped out. Here's Carlson. He's got an unabetted pass. Left circle. Carlson alone. He scores. All through his legs. Carlson shorthanded. 3-2 Knights. Oh, can you believe it? Faceoff won by Belmar. Puck to the corner. Cleared out of the zone. And that's it. The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman behind the board. And joining us today, our good friend, our favorite reporter in the city. Nothing against any of the other ones, but we really like this guy, and we think he does a great job, Mr. Jesse Granger. Jesse, how you doing, man?
I'm excellent. I'm your favorite because I'm in here today?
No. In fact, you know, it's funny because Ed Graney and Steve, some of the other people at the skates and that come up, how come you always say that Jesse's your favorite? It's like, well, because he is.
I'm just that cool.
You just are. Plus, you're a goalie, too, so you have that connection going on.
Yeah, I do love just breaking down the goalies, and sometimes people get on me about focusing too much on that, but I feel like last night was the perfect example of you can't talk too much about the goalies. They were both spectacular. The only goal of the game was not seen by the goalie, so every puck they saw, they stopped, and that's playoff hockey, and I love it.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, and Clayton, I know we were talking about this in the post-game show a little bit, how Jesse just mentioned that the goalie didn't see the puck. That's what you have to do to beat the elite goalies today. Quick, Fleury, Matt Murray, who had a shutout last night, if they see the puck, they're going to stop the puck.
Yeah, that's why Pierre-Édouard Bellemare is so important last night, getting to the front of the net. And we've seen that time and time again. When this team is successful, it's because somebody is willing to go to the dirty spots. And Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, he's a dirty man. And he got in front of the net, and I thought for a minute when they were shown on the replay that he might have gotten the tip. He certainly was trying for that, but his screen just as important as anything else that happened on that play.
It actually looked like it. I think it was deflected for sure. I think the Kings guy accidentally hit it. But I asked Belmar after the game, I'm like, just tell me as simply as you can, why is goaltending so important in the playoffs? And he said, well, look, anytime you get a clean look at the goalie and he sees the puck, it's impossible to get it past him. He said, I got a clean shot on Quick and he made me look like a fool. The goaltending in the NHL is at such a high level. It's evolved so much in the last few years that now if a goalie sees it, he believes he should make the save. And obviously there are some guys, Ovechkin, that can absolutely snipe the corners. But for the majority of the players in the league, the goalie has the advantage in a one-on-one shot situation. So you got to get guys in front. And a guy that did that really well last night, it didn't pay off, but I thought he did it really well, was Alex Tuch.
Yeah, and I thought a lot of guys did that. And it's funny because you're talking about that. And I believe it was Kelly Rudy just wrote a book recently, within the last few months or so. And he mentioned one of his things that he talked about in there was, he said he watches the old films of back in the day when he played, and he said, my God, none of us could play goalie today because we gave up soft goals almost on a nightly basis, and that was just part of the game. He said now these guys stop absolutely everything. If it's not a weird deflection or bouncing off somebody's body, or the shot that we see now that seems super popular is from behind the net and you try to bounce it off the back of the goalie, get him out of position, his leg or his back or something like that. If it's not some kind of greasy goal, It basically doesn't happen. Cheap goals are very rare today.
Yeah, well, it's partly the athletes are better, and that's in every sport, in every position. The athletes are just better. But it's also the pads have evolved. The goalies, Patrick Waugh invented the butterfly, essentially. He perfected it. Now every goalie obviously uses the butterfly. And when they kind of transitioned into that, you can create a wall with your body. And these guys are so big and they skate so well that they keep that angle. And if you get in that butterfly, you're basically cutting off everything on the net. So while the goalies are better today, I think if you take goalies from back then and give them these pads and give them these techniques, they could be equally good.
Yeah, well, we'll never know, but I'm sure that some EA Sports or somebody will make it out there and when they play their classic with today's pads and the different pads. And it's funny, too, because you mentioned the pads, and Remember last year they actually shrunk the pads down a little bit because everybody was complaining that they were way too big. And there were a couple goalies, and Devin Dubnyk's one that always jumps to mind for me, that he had a hard time adjusting there for a little while. He started giving up more goals than normal because I think psychologically he didn't feel as comfortable. And that also shows the mental aspect, because goaltender is one of those positions too. When you're in a zone and you're playing your best, you can stop everything. But if you do get some of these guys and you get one past them and get in their head a little bit, sometimes that's when you can get a few goals on them.
Yeah, and like the bigger the goalie, obviously the more difference it makes. Ben Bishop for the Stars is the one I always think of. I remember when the first time I met him in the locker room, I was astounded by how big the guy is. He's just massive. And you get those goalies that are that big. Back in the day, the goalies played the stand-up. A guy like Ben Bishop, he goes into the butterfly. So you'd think, okay, he goes into the butterfly. What's open now? The top corners. But he's 6'7". So even when he goes into the butterfly, his shoulders are still at the crossbar. How do you score on the guy?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So, but a little goaltending talk here at the top of the show, because the goalies played a gigantic role in the game last night. We'll have some NHL news, lots of cool things going on. But Clayton, once again, last night's game is the first continue for this team, and we have our first goal, our first shutout, our first game-winning goal, and we have our first play and player of the games.
Yeah, first play and player of the game. And with all the goaltending talk, we're going to flip it around a little bit. Start with player of the game, and that was Marc-Andre Fleury with his big shutout. Our player of the game is brought to you by Finley Acura. Finley Acura in the Auto Valley Mall, the new definition of luxury. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Onside and a play and a shot. Oh, a couple of taps of the stick and a glove stop by Fleury.
And he was all over the place. My favorite save of his last night was the juggle save, saying, Sidney Crosby, I can do that too.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because when you go onto so many sites and that and social media and that, it's all over the place. And we talked about that in the post game as well, that it's like, well, Sid might take him and knock him in the net. Marc-Andre Fleury just plays a little ping pong with himself, and then he just grabs it with the glove. So, yeah, that was a nice game. And that was the save that I thought, it wasn't a spectacular save necessarily, but what I thought about it was when I saw him doing that and having fun with the smile, I'm like, this guy's in his zone tonight. He's going to be awfully tough to beat.
I actually led my story last night with that, and I don't think, like you said, it wasn't a difficult save. They kind of just threw it into his chest from out at the point. What it did was it sent a message unintentionally to the rest of his team. Fleury was not intending to send a message. He's just being his jovial, jesterly self, juggling it like a flapjack on his stick. And I talked to Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and he said, man, we're just sitting on the bench. And when he does that, we're looking at each other, and it's like, this guy, we're in the middle of a 1-0 playoff game. There's a record-breaking crowd screaming at the tops of their lungs, and he has no nerves. He's not anxious. He's so relaxed and having so much fun, and it kind of sent a wave of relaxation to the rest of us to realize, like, look, it's just a game. Look at Fleury. He's having fun out there. We can kind of do the same thing.
Reminds you of the Super Bowl in the game-winning drive, Joe Montana against the Cincinnati Bengals. They get into the huddle under 2 minutes. They've got 60, 70 yards to go, and he points into the crowd, and he goes, hey, guys, is that John Candy in the second row? And they're thinking, there's 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl and we're losing. But Joe Montana was looking in the crowd. Didn't matter to him. Cool and relaxed, same as Fleury.
And that's how sometimes leaders lead. You hear about vocal leaders and Newt Rockne speeches and this, that, and the other. But sometimes it's calming everybody else down and letting them know, yes, this is a big game, but it's still a fun game and we're out here having fun. And yes, we have to play hard and work hard and do everything else. But this game should still be fun, and Marc-Andre Fleury, he just epitomizes that, and I agree with you. I thought he relaxed the entire team. I also thought it sent a message to the LA Kings saying, I'm in a zone tonight, and anything you guys to throw at me, I'm so comfortable I can do this in the middle of the first Stanley Cup playoff game in the history of this organization. I've won 3 Stanley Cups. I'm going for my 4th here. If you guys are going to beat me, it's going to take everything you have. And meanwhile, everybody else on the ice is going, we're beating the hell out of each other out there all game long. And this guy's basically just having a little bit of fun juggling with his stick and his puck.
It was chaos around him all night, and that's how it is in the playoffs. We talked about it. The only way you get goals is to disturb the goalie, to disrupt the goalie's vision, to disrupt his movement, and there was chaos around Fleury all night. The Kings are one of the better teams in the league at getting in front of him. You saw Dustin Brown got a goalie interference. He literally sat on Fleury. There was another play where there was a pile up and Fleury's helmet came off, his mask came off in the middle of the play. It was chaos around him, and he was completely serene throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So a great job there, and Marc-Andre Fleury deserving of the player of the game. I know Chris and I were texting back and forth a little bit. You could have made arguments for some of the other guys out there. I thought Carrier played an incredible game. The fans, you know, if you want to go that route, I mean, every question answered. Can the fans bring it up to another level? Because it's been playoff hockey all season long. I think a huge check mark in bold writing with that one.
Yeah, it was just so electric last night. I found myself, I was all wired when I got home, even after the hour and a half post-game show. I got home, I couldn't sleep, and I just wanted to relive the atmosphere. And I just remember just going through Twitter, just looking at video that fans shot from the arena and just trying to recapture that moment. It was so much fun.
Yeah. They were living and dying with every play. There were times when, I mean, I'm working during the game, so I'm like, I have to craft my story as the game's going on. So there are times where I'll look down at my laptop and the arena explodes and I'm thinking, oh my God, I missed a goal. And I look up and no, the Golden Knights just got it out of their own zone. Like they're just starting a rush up. It's not an odd man rush. It's just, they just now have the puck and the arena exploded like they scored a goal. I mean, it was fun. It was great.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And so the crowd continues to amaze everybody around the league. The team continues to amaze. And, well, we also have the answer to who will get the first goal, which turned out to be the game-winning goal in Golden Knights playoff history as well.
All right, and that is our play of the game brought to you by Best Mattress. The Best Mattress play of the game. Best Mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. A little bit of history from Shea Theodore.
To the far corner, Nosek looks up top, finds Theodore, shoots, and scores!
And so appropriate that Shea Theodore, one of the youngsters, the future of the franchise, gets the first goal. And on the back of that fourth line, and Tomáš Nosek, who had the first goal in T-Mobile history, gets the assist on the first playoff goal. So good on you, Tomáš Nosek.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because those guys, that was the goal and the assist, but the two guys that didn't get assists that made that goal possible was Bellemare in front of the net doing what he does, and Carrier digging in the corner and throwing the check and everything to dislodge the puck, a puck that easily could have been the Kings' possession, but Carrier played. He was throwing his body all over the place. And it's funny because I know a lot of my friends, and I'm sure your guys do as well, that don't watch hockey or don't understand it, like, well, why do they give two assists to guys? It's like, because sometimes you could give three or four. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like other sports where it's like, okay, well, there's the pass in the basketball game that led to the basket or something. It's, I mean, a lot of times one assist isn't enough. Sometimes two isn't. In that case, you could have made that the goal was actually the result of the two guys that didn't hit the scorebook for it.
Absolutely, and obviously Shea with the goal. He was, other than the goalies, probably the best player on the ice last night. And it's funny because what drew the Golden Knights to Shea Theodore, and remember, he wasn't available in the expansion draft. He was not eligible to be picked because he was a rookie. The Ducks traded him to the Golden Knights to avoid them taking other players. And what drew them to him was that playoff run with the Ducks. He didn't do much with the Ducks the regular season. He was in back and forth between the NHL and the AHL. He comes up. He gets, I think, 6 or 8, I forgot, points with the Ducks. He was one of the best players on their team in their run to the Western Conference Finals. And now here we are a year later, a different team, and he shows up in the playoffs, not only with that goal, but there were two passes that he made during two different power plays to William Karlsson to set up essentially a wide-open net for Karlsson. Now, Karlsson put them both wide, which he usually doesn't, but Shea Theodore was quarterbacking that power play about as good as you can ask.
And he also made his best David Perron impression with the little toe drag, and if not for the glove of Jonathan Quick, he would have had a second.
Yeah, he was great.
And he also played a very solid defensive game, too. So he did everything that you could ask of him. And not surprising, when he came in today after the morning skate, a lot of people went over there. We kind of waited for that to thin out. I had a chance to talk with him a little bit. And I mentioned that goal to him and asked him what it felt like and how important it was, the first playoff goal and first game-winning goal in Vegas Golden Knights postseason history.
Yeah, obviously it's a big goal. You know, it's just something that, you know, happens when you put pucks on net, and I definitely got a lucky bounce to have it go in.
Now, obviously, when you're taking a shot, you want to make sure that it's not blocked or something, but sometimes it is nice when there's traffic in front of the net. What made you think that you had the open lane there to fire away?
Well, I knew I had their forward coming out, so it's kind of about getting the puck just by him, and it definitely helps when there's traffic in front. Obviously, you know, there's lots of sticks, lots of skates that it can go off of, and I guess I just got a good bounce.
What did you think about the physicality of the game last night? Because it was more physical than we're used to seeing with the Golden Knights.
Yeah, it was good. It was it was a hard physical game, but that's what playoffs are about, and that's what their team is about. I felt like we matched their physicality pretty well, and we weren't surprised by anything that they gave us.
I thought you guys played very physical, but I thought you still played Golden Knights hockey. I know some people today are saying that you let LA bait you into their type of game, but I didn't see it that way. What did you see on the ice?
No, we played a fast physical game. A big part of our game is our speed and the way we can break the puck out, using all five guys. And I think if we keep sticking to that, then that's going to be a good game plan.
As a defenseman, and you see Marc-Andre Fleury doing what he did last night, including the puck juggling that he did with his stick and then swapping it out of the middle of the air, what's that like looking back and knowing that if there is a mistake, you guys have Flower behind you?
It's good. It shows his confidence, to make those kind of saves and to have that kind of fun and, in the first playoff game of a series. And, he's a good, confident guy to have back there, and it's definitely a treat.
They say that NHL rivalries are made in the playoffs. Is LA becoming closer to being the official rival of the Golden Knights?
Yeah, I felt like the games that we had throughout the regular season that they were definitely one of our biggest rivals, and I feel like that's showing with the intensity throughout the playoffs here.
Will Carrier was playing like a madman out there last night, throwing his body around. I thought he played a great game. Then Drew Doughty does the hit on him. What was the thought with the guys on the team with Doughty's hit? And how is Will, do you know?
Will's fine. I talked to him this morning, but I didn't get a good chance to take a look at that hit. I just kind of saw him on the ice. It's a physical game. Guys are trying to make those hits and trying to be physical on everyone, and just that's the way it's going to be.
I know some people are saying that you can't keep up the physicality for an entire seven-game series. What's your thoughts on that? Because, again, I thought you guys played physical last night, but I thought you also played smart and within yourselves.
Yeah, that's our game. It's going to be a physical series, and I feel like, throughout the rest of the way, if we keep our team speed and keep our physicality up, that's the way we want to play.
All right, well, thanks a lot. Congratulations on the game-winning goal. First game-winning goal in playoff history as well, and hope to see many more from you.
Thank you very much.
And there you have it, Shea Theodore, the first game-winning goal, first postseason goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. And hopefully we will see many more, and hopefully we'll see some more in this series as well. And physicality seemed to be the theme of the night with a lot of the players out there. We'll tell you what Gerard Gallant had to say about that in a little bit here, but what did you guys think about the physicality? I thought that it was ramped up a little bit. In fact, I thought it was quite a bit, but maybe it's also because of the crowd and the electricity that seemed to be everywhere.
Well, we also saw guys get involved physically that we don't typically see. Now, Colin Miller's one of those guys that's 50-50. He can be physical if he needs to be, but tends to not go overboard or seek it out. He was seeking contact a little bit last night. I'm trying to remember last time I saw James Neal put somebody on their back. He did that last night. John Merrill got involved last night in front of the net and in the corners, which is something we don't typically see from him. So I thought it was ramped up, and there were players all over that didn't shy away from the contact.
I think it was more physical for sure, but I think the scorekeepers are also being extremely lenient with what a hit is. They had 128 hits recorded. The last two games in the regular season that the Golden Knights and Kings played were very physical. Not quite as physical as that, but were very physical. And they had 63 hits so total. So to go from 63, and they had 100 hits recorded in the first two periods. And I saw a quote from one of the Kings players at practice today that said something like, yeah, if there were actually 128 hits, neither teams would be able to walk today. And then we asked Gallant about that after practice, and he's like, yeah, I think they were a little lenient handing those hits out. Marchessault was credited with 8 hits, which I think is a little bit much.
Yeah, so you're saying that CompuBox needs to maybe get in there next time and check it out a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, every arena has a different scoring system. I mean, they do things a little differently. I think maybe they were a little more forgiving and giving the hits a little more than they maybe should have. Every time the guys touched each other, they gave them a hit.
And Frank, the good news is Adelaide Bird would not be scoring that at the end of the night.
Well, no, because then the Kings would be up 1-0.
Yeah.
I just think that's funny because, CompuBox is notoriously correct.
No, that's right. That was totally tongue-in-cheek, obviously, because I look at those stats and I'm going, are we watching the same fight here?
Right.
All right, well, Physicality was the key, though, that a lot of people were talking about. And James Neal had a chance to catch up with him today as well, and he talked about the physicality of the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I think, we talked a little bit about, staying in control at the start of the game with the energy. It's easy to get ramped up. You go out there and you run someone a little bit too hard, or you're too amped up and you take a few penalties. We talked about being disciplined. So I liked our discipline, but yeah, I think in playoffs you gotta, I think that puck just inched its way out, and you gotta do the tough things around the boards, and they pay off. So it's definitely something we talked about. I thought we were good in front of Flower, letting him shoot the puck. It's something they talked about. So they'll be shooting the puck more next game and going in the net a little bit more. So it'll just keep getting going more and more as the series goes on. And for us, be happy with game one, put it behind us, and focus on the next one, and know that they don't want to go back to their rink down 2-0, so they're going to be coming out hard.
Alex didn't play like a guy who was making, who wasn't experienced in the playoffs last night. How much did you and Eric help him prepare for this game last night?
Well, I think just talking to him a little bit, let him know to just play his game. We knew what kind of atmosphere, like I said, it was going to be, so kind of get the jitters out on the first couple shifts. Try to get some touches in, get into the forecheck, be physical. We didn't play much in the first period. We had a tough first period, but I thought after the first period, our line, played really well, and we were in on the forecheck lots, and I thought Alex was great. So I'll try to help him out as much as I can, and I was in that position before too, and I had guys help me out. So talk to him lots, and as long as he's doing the little things right and he's moving his feet, and he's a big physical guy who's got a great shot, goes the net well, and he's good around the net. So he's a big part of our team, and we're going to need him here in the first round for sure.
James Neal, they're talking about the physicality in game one and how the Kings are going to come out with desperation in game two. And I agree with that, but I thought they kind of played with desperation last night too. I thought both teams played well. I thought the best players on the ice, like Gerard Gallant alluded to today, was the goaltenders. And if the goalies are the best players, you're going to have a low-scoring game. I thought that was the case last night. But remember this too. LA came in here basically hoping to get a split. That's still doable for them.
Yeah. No, this game is huge. I'm actually writing my story for tomorrow, so check that out in the Las Vegas Sun. But check this out. So if the Kings were to win this next game, it's a 1-1 split. In the history of the NHL, you go back and look at all the series. If it's 1-1, the Golden Knights have a 51% chance of winning this series. If it's 2-0, the Golden Knights have an 89.7% chance of winning this series. Obviously, a huge difference there. This is a massive game. What it also does is, if the Kings get the split, they go back to L.A., they feel great. We stole home ice advantage. If they're down 2-0, now all of a sudden the pressure mounts. They've said that they're better than this team all year. Now they know they can't lose one of these two games at home. The series hangs in the balance in this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we come back, you heard James Neal talking about Alex Tuch. We're going to hear from Alex Tuch. We're also going to hear from Colin Miller. We're going to look at a lot of other things, what Gary Bettman had to say, get some news in there, talk about some of the other games, a lot going on here. And when we come back, we're also going to talk about a very cool thing that will help benefit the Golden Knights Foundation. That and a lot more coming your way. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Karnisch, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman, Jesse Granger joining us here as well. And, it's been a magical season for the Vegas Golden Knights, and right now we have a gentleman on the phone to talk about a very cool thing that they're doing to help raise funds for the Golden Knights Foundation to help also honor this magical season. Mr. Bob Ibach joins us on the show. Bob, talked to you this morning. Thanks for making a little bit of time for us.
Hey, Frank, nice to be with you and the guys there. I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure and it's just an honor. I covered the National Hockey League, the Flyers, back in the late 70s, even before that, the old Washington Capitals. And I know how hard it is for a first-year team that's an expansion team to go ahead and produce what the Golden Knights have done this year. Outstanding 51 wins in their first year as an expansion team. We've got something to commemorate that, and I'm working with the Golden Knights Foundation, which helps out Las Vegas youth, Las Vegas military, first responders as well, helps fight hunger, homelessness in the community, does a lot of great things. And what we've done here is we've got a 5,000 of these limited edition four-puck hockey puck sets that are going to be produced. They're all licensed. They're priced at just $99 for the entire four pucks. And in a moment, I will give out a special toll-free number and a website how you can get this. We're just starting it today. And it's, again, I want to point out, only 5,000 made. Each puck will come with a beautiful acrylic display case, have a gold base to it. Really looks stunning. Now, what you'll get on the pucks, puck number one, salutes the Golden Knights' record-setting 51 wins for a first-year expansion NHL team. The second puck in the set is a salute to the Pacific Division title, and will also chronicle the results each series along the Stanley Cup playoffs. Series by series will all be posted on that puck. Then pucks number three and four recognize two of the Golden Knights' outstanding players. Their goalie, obviously Marc-Andre Fleury, who produced an unbelievable 1-0 shutout in Game 1 against L.A. And, of course, Wild Bill Carlson, who led the team with 42 goals this season and played in all 82 games. That'll be two different pucks there with their photograph on them, really nice looking, and some of their statistics position on that puck. So you get all four of the pucks. They come in a set. They're all you'll get a numbered certificate of authenticity with it. And again, only 5,000 made to raise monies for the Golden Knights Foundation. So if you'd like to help out the foundation, get yourself something to commemorate this historic season, unlike anything that's ever happened in the National Hockey League, you can order these two ways for $99. Toll-free number is 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868, or just visit nicosports.com, that's the website, and you spell it nicosports.com, and you'll get a chance to take a look at it. You can order it there. And also, they're throwing in a free pair of these fuzzy dice that you put in your car to kind of shake and bake along as the Golden Knights go ahead and go throughout the playoffs. Maybe give them some extra luck. So this is a really cool idea. It helps out a great foundation, and I certainly hope that your great listeners will go ahead and respond, and we can raise a lot of money.
Yeah, and well, hopefully the four pucks also is a precursor to the fourth Stanley Cup that Marc-Andre Fleury will be winning this year.
That's a great tie-in, isn't it, Frank?
Yeah, and it's awfully nice there. So once again, 1-800-345-2868 or NICO Sports, NIKOSports.com, and limited edition. Everybody loves the limited edition stuff, and you know what? When you tie it in with the Golden Knights Foundation, it's a win-win for everybody out there.
It sure is, you know, and like I said, I've done a lot of these things over the years to raise money. We're up to about $2.4 million we've raised for charity on projects like this just in the last couple of years. So I do encourage people to either hit that toll-free number. It's 1-800-345-2868, or the website again. It's got a tricky spelling. It's nicosports.com, NIKOSports.com. $99 will get you one of these four puck sets, and I think you'll really, really love it when you see it. I got a chance to see a prototype, Frank, yesterday, and it is stunning when they're in the case with a gold base to it.
All right, Bob. Well, we look forward to it. Hopefully our listeners will take advantage of that. And if we keep on going a little bit deeper into the playoffs, maybe get you on again, remind people once again about that 5,000 limited edition sets out there. So act now and get those sets. And help out a great cause with the Golden Knights Foundation, good tie into the community around here in Vegas. And I know that just another one of the many things that this team has done to help out the community and the city, and one of the reasons that the team is so loved in Las Vegas.
You're so right, Frank. And Clayton and the rest of you guys, thank you so much for having me on today. Really appreciate it. And go Golden Knights. I've got a good feeling about this, that they can take this thing in probably about five games.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye now.
All right, Bob Iback there once again on NICO Sports, NIKOSports.com, or 1-800-345-2868. Everybody loves the collector's edition stuff. Look at all the free posters that they've been giving away at T-Mobile all year in that draw for. And, you know, there's 18,000 of them every game or so. 5,000? Sounds like a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good deal. And I will not use them for paperweights. So I found that hockey pucks are excellent paperweights when we're outside in the wind.
You also found that people get really grabby around them.
That's also true. That is also true. People come up and like, what's this? And then they look at my papers.
Because they're already holding it in your hands, and your papers are starting to blow away.
Yeah. But good times, though. It's always fun saying hi to folks.
Well, you know, because stanchions around us wearing headsets and that and talking, that's not an indication that something's going on. It means we're inviting them to come over and talk to us. And anything
mind.
On the table is free, right?
That's right. No, we don't mind. We kid, but we love it when people come by and say hello. So continue to do so. It's always great to see folks out and about, and everybody's just having a good time enjoying the playoffs.
Yeah, so whenever you see Clayton, be sure to grab his pucks and bring your dogs, because Clayton loves dogs.
Yeah, I'm saying, if you do grab the puck, that's fine. Just put something else down on top of my paper so they don't blow away.
Clayton got attacked a couple times.
Yeah, I got attacked by two dogs yesterday.
I was there. There was the police dogs, right?
Doing the
round. That was the first time. Then at night, there was the big white dog with the Marc-Andre Fleury shirt on.
Yes, I was told his name is Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, I've met that dog.
He got real excited, and all of a sudden, he was on my shoulder. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. There's a dog in my face.
Yes. Clayton turned whiter than the dog.
Clayton's telling the police officer, I hate dogs. Get that away from me. Like, yeah, we really don't care if you hate dogs. This dog is here to do a job. Like, we really don't care if you like him or not.
There was nothing in my genes.
Well, the dog needed to know that.
That's what the dog found out.
Yeah.
So that's why he moved on to the next person. All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show here. And let's get back to the Golden Knights. And when we left and had to go to that break, we had just got done hearing from James Neal, who was talking about the physicality of the game and about the game that Alex Tuch played. Well, also had a chance to catch up with Alex Tuch, and he also talked about the physical nature of last night's game.
I mean, we knew LA is a big physical heavy team, and we wanted to come back and push back as much as possible. So I thought we really caught them off guard a little bit with how physical we were, and a couple of guys were probably a little shaken up on their end. I think they might have more hits than us, but I think we had the bigger ones for sure.
Did you see the Doughty hit on Curry?
Oh, I thought it wasn't a clean hit at all. So I guess he's got his hearing today sometime, so we'll see what happens. And I mean, it's playoffs, so if they don't suspend him, it's understandable. But honestly, I just saw from the bench, so I can't be too sure what happened, but I thought it was right to the head.
But in a regular season, you think it
would be? Yeah, he's suspension worthy, but I'm not one to say. I'm not George Parros here. So, honestly, it's playoff hockey. We're ready for it and stuff, and Will's feeling good, so no issues there.
How happy were you? Team look like without Doughty?
I mean, he's a really good player. So, I mean, he's an unbelievable player. He's one of the best defensemen in the world, so I think that'll really hurt him. But, I mean, they have a deep team, too, so they'll be able to I guess not fill his spot completely, but they'll put someone in that'll do their job and play well.
Going back to the physical play, you guys took the hits that were there. You weren't running around looking for anything that wasn't there. How happy were you with the balance between playing your speed game, your team game, and then adding that physical edge?
I thought we did a really good job of it, honestly. I thought right off the bat, we were into the game, we were hitting, we were physical, and I guess we got the result we wanted to because of it. I think the entire playoffs, we want to be as physical as possible. We knew the physical grind that was going to come with playing in the playoffs, and we're accepting it, and we're excited for it, and we're just trying to play that kind of game.
Alex Tuch there talking about the physical play last night, and of course about Drew Doughty. And apparently the only thing that Drew does more than spend time on the ice is spend time on the phone with the player safety board, because we still haven't heard what that suspension will be. 28 minutes and 2 seconds of ice time last night, virtually half the game for the LA Kings. But that announcement was supposed to come down about an hour or so ago, and we're still waiting on it.
His hearing was at 1:30, so it's now an hour and 8 minutes since it was to commence, and still no word whether there will be a fine, a suspension, or nothing at all.
Yeah, and obviously that has a huge impact on this series, because Drew Doughty, like you said, played nearly half the game. And not only that, but with Muzzin still out, assuming he doesn't make a return for game two, they're already struggling to find minutes, to find defensemen to fill those minutes that Muzzin was out. If you take Doughty out, that's their two top minutes guys. Martinez is going to be stretched really thin, and against a team like the Golden Knights that runs four lines, they play fast, they tire out those defensemen. You saw it last night. The game started to open up a little bit more in the third period because the Kings can't. They don't have the depth like that. If Doughty were to miss a game or more, it would be devastating for the Kings.
No, I agree with you. And we got a couple more interviews we want to get to here before we have to take to a break. So let's keep it rolling and jump right into another one of those. Still on the physical nature of the game, Colin Miller also had a chance. Caught up with him earlier today at City National Arena. And Colin Miller, again, like everybody else, was asked about the physical nature of last night's contest.
Well, I think it's just, you know, we're just playing our game. I don't think we're, you know, going out of the way to make any hits or anything like that. But I mean, our game is a speed game. You know, we've said that all year, and when we're skating and stuff like that, and then we have the puck, you know, there's going to be hits. But yeah, we did a good job of, I think, you know, kind of rising to that level, and it was good. It's playoff hockey. I mean, I don't know. It was last night. It was funny, you know, how early that goal went, and then it just kind of seemed like as the game went on that might be how it goes. But I mean, with both goaltenders being so solid in this series, I think, you know, a lot of games could be like that, and you're definitely gonna have to fight for every goal.
You guys haven't had much success against their penalty kill. Actually, most teams haven't, but it looked like last night you guys were really close to breaking through and putting one in on the power play. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think they had the number one power penalty kill in the league, right? So they're very good at that, but yeah, we had some good chances. I think there's still some areas, you know, we can improve, but it's a big thing, you know. Power plays and penalty kills like that can be big momentum swings in a series. So we just got to keep it simple and try and bang one in.
And there you go. Just keep it simple. Try to bang one in. Colin Miller talking about the physical play and also the nature of the game. And again, you know, it's funny because Golden Knights fans right now are ecstatic. And sometimes I'm wondering if maybe they're making this look a little bit too easy to the fan base out here, because we were talking earlier today, Clayton, over at City National Arena, and they're not the only team that won their first playoff game in the history of the organization last night. The Winnipeg Jets, who started out as the Atlanta Thrashers, started in 1999, had one playoff series as Atlanta. They got swept. Then in 2011 became the Winnipeg Jets. They've made the playoffs exactly one time. They got swept. So they've been around 19, 20 years, and they finally won their first playoff game ever. Is this team making it look too easy for the fan base? I mean, what are the expectations going to be next year, especially if they do go on to win the Cup? Oh, well, now you got to win 60 games.
What I do know about what next season will bring is that when development camp starts, and when we saw over at the Ice Center, there's a fairly healthy crowd over there. I can guarantee when development camp starts at City National Arena, it'll be standing room only, four deep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, but the Ice Center, I think, yeah, it was full. I think they actually had to turn people away for that. But no, it's, I mean, like Frank said, I actually think it could be maybe setting the expectations a little too high. I'm going to reserve judgment because I think the Golden Knights fan base is different from UNLV basketball. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to talk about sports fans in this town and not look at what has happened to UNLV basketball. Now, the Golden Knights give you absolutely no reason to think they're not going to be good for the foreseeable future. They're good now, and they've got a stockpile of prospects and draft picks. So we could continue to see this winning ways. But if they don't, it'll be interesting to see how it works.
Also going to be interesting to see what Bill Foley's chant is going to be at the end of the season, should they win it all. Cup in one, three cups in six?
I don't know. But one thing that I think is a little bit different, though, than UNLV basketball is that with UNLV basketball, there's an attachment to the institution, which is a little bit stronger for the people that were a part of that institution, not so much for maybe people from the rest of the country that have come here with attachments to their Ohio States and the Michigans and the Clemsons and the UCLAs and wherever they have come from. But I think with the Golden Knights, it's not even, it's so much, there's an attachment to the team and to the brand. There's an awful lot of attachment to individuals, and there is attachments to William Karlsson, and people love Braden McNabb and Nate Schmidt. And the question will be, as the team turns over, will those special relationships with the fans be able to continue with the new folks that come into town?
It'll be interesting. But, you know, it's funny because we're always talking about down the road and that, and we do it, everybody in the community does. I kind of agree with most of the players. Let's just enjoy this ride. Let's see how far it goes and where it goes to. But it's been great so far, and hopefully that continues, and it will be a long, long playoff run. And we know they're going at least another four games minimum, and hopefully a lot more beyond that. But the bottom line is, as hyped up as everybody is right now, they won one game. You have to win four to advance on. And had a chance to talk with Cody Eakin today as well, and Cody Eakin talked about the importance of game two, especially for the LA Kings.
You know, they're hoping for a split, you know, on the road, having two games in our building, and we're hoping to get two. So, you know, we got to continue to play fast, play hard, limit their chances, and, you know, just continue to play Knights hockey.
You guys obviously have rolled four lines all season. Did it feel like towards the end of the game in the third period you guys really kind of took control of the game? Did it feel like maybe they were wearing down?
You know, I think we're such a fast team that it's hard to skate with us. I think when we, like I said, when we dictate the play and when we use our speed and we finish our checks and put the puck in, value the lines, all the little things, it's very difficult to defend and play against. You know, so it's all about us now in this dressing room trying to do the same thing, replicate that game and use our assets.
You guys played with a lot of composure in the first period with the building as loud as it was, as crazy as it was. How important was that to just kind of play with controlled emotion?
It's important, I think. I think, you know, especially that first game, the nerves are a little high. We want to use that energy getting that first goal. You know, like I said earlier, calm the nerves, allowed us to play our game, use our speed, and you know, not second guess our decisions with the puck and away from the puck. So we did a good job at that. You know, and hope to do it again first 5-10 minutes in the next game.
You mentioned speed. It was very apparent yesterday, but there was also physicality that we haven't really seen. But it wasn't outside of itself. It was just when it was important, when it made sense. How happy were you with the balance of physicality and speed?
Like I said, the way you know, some guys came out, the team as a whole, guys like Will came out and really you know, finished checks in the right way and not running around and, you know, looking for, you know, a dumb hit or looking to finish something that wasn't there. Just played within the rules, within the system, and use our speed to finish checks and our forecheck. And, you know, it's hard for any team to defend.
And there you have it, Cody Eakin talking about last night's game and the importance of Game 2 coming up here. And, guys, certainly Game 2 is important, but they say that the first game is hard to get, but the toughest one is always Game 4. Hopefully we'll be in that situation in the not-too-distant future. And you don't have to look any farther than up in San Jose and ask them how tough it is to win a Game 4, or maybe the Washington Capitals. But when we come back, Gary Bettman also addressed the media yesterday, and he had some interesting news for Las Vegas and the future of some events down here. Jesse Granger was part of that conversation, so we'll ask Jesse what the commissioner had to say next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Final go-around here on a Thursday, getting ready for another game night tomorrow night. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman, and our good friend Mr. Jesse Granger joining us. And Jesse, before Game 1 last night, it's amazing how much media loves to come here to Vegas. I mean, there was games in Winnipeg and other places that they could have gone to, but everybody seems to want to come here to Vegas. But Gary Bettman, the commissioner, was also down here, and I know he addressed some things about Vegas' future in the NHL and the award show.
Yeah, and announced that the NHL awards will be returning to Vegas. And like you said, everybody likes to come to Vegas. There's a reason that there was no surprise that the NHL awards will be back here June 20th at the Hard Rock, the joint inside the Hard Rock. And the reason that this is such a great place is because it's not hard to convince players, media, anyone to come to Las Vegas. It's a great home for it. Last year, it was overshadowed by the awesome expansion draft, but next year we can get back to the normal award show. It's going to be fun.
And the joint at the Hard Rock is a great place.
Yeah, it should be a really good time. And what I'm really looking forward to is having you on a day or two before to release your ballot for the awards that are going to be given away that night.
Yeah, as a member of the Pro Hockey Writers Association, I get one of the votes. And I submitted my ballot a couple days ago. We had to do it before the playoff games yesterday. It was a lot of fun. First time I've ever voted on the postseason awards. I liked it.
Without giving anything away, anything that might surprise people?
Absolutely. I don't know how to tell you what might surprise people without giving it away.
You don't have to. You have some surprises, so you're going to want to tune in.
My Hart Trophy winner for the MVP of the league, it has caused quite a bit of controversy with the people that I have told who I chose.
All right. Well, there you have it. So something, even more reasons to look forward to that.
That is the long 2-month tease for Jesse's ballot.
Everyone listening to this show, tune in 2 months.
2 months.
That's right. Must listen to radio. The season's over, but Jesse's ballot is yet to be revealed. All right, for Clayton Hamilton, for Chris Chapman, for Jesse Granger, I'm Frank Carney. Stick around. TC Martin, the doctor's next, live on location. Talk to you tomorrow.